When capability gets cheap, bottlenecks do not disappear. They move, and the bill often lands somewhere less glamorous. Welcome to the Cato Daily Digest for August 4, 2026.
Today's AI boom is facing three different tests: capability, belief, and monetization. We keep treating them as one score.
Capability asks what the systems can do. Belief asks whether they can help build stronger successors. Monetization asks whether customers will pay enough, soon enough, to support roughly $200 billion in annual infrastructure spending.
And investors may be pricing all three from evidence about only the first. A model solves a hard problem, the market upgrades its view of recursive improvement, then assumes the revenue arrives on schedule.
That chain contains two unproven links. Astra reportedly solved 10 open mathematics problems. Current agents also write code, recover from some errors, spawn sub-agents, and help create training data. Those are real capabilities.
But advanced math and coding offer cheap checks. A proof can be verified. Software can be compiled and tested. Most work is murkier. Was the strategy useful? Was the customer persuaded for the right reason? Did the system make a decision people will accept?
Right. Performance transfers most easily when the objective is crisp and failure is visible. That is not superintelligence. It is strong performance inside domains with unusually helpful scoreboards.
Then which test is the market actually pricing?
My read is that it prices capability today, recursive improvement tomorrow, and monetization whenever the bills arrive. That can hold while confidence is high. If revenue conversion strengthens over the next earnings cycles, the sequence looks defensible. If spending keeps outrunning durable revenue, belief becomes the shock absorber.
So capability can advance faster than comprehension and cash flow. Astra gives us a clean place to examine that split.
A researcher reproduced roughly half of Astra's reported results with the public Fable model in 24 hours. That changes the claim. The question is no longer simply whether Astra can solve open problems. It is whether Astra found problems that were already vulnerable to machine search and cheap verification.
That is the proof overhang hypothesis. Mathematics may contain a backlog of results that look hard because humans have limited search time, not because the reasoning step requires a unique new intelligence.
And finding those tractable targets is valuable. Suppose 10,000 open problems exist, but only 200 yield to current methods. A system that identifies the 200 has performed consequential scientific work, even if another model can generate half the proofs once shown where to look.
Yes, but the public evidence may flatter that story. People discuss the replicated successes. We hear less about the problems Fable could not solve, the prompting effort, the verification burden, or the failed attempts discarded before publication.
Selection bias.
Strong selection bias. I would want a pre-registered comparison using unseen problems. Score problem selection, proof generation, verification cost, and human interpretability separately. Otherwise, we cannot tell whether Astra is better at reasoning, better at elicitation, or merely attached to a better search process.
I can see that. I initially treated rapid replication as stronger evidence for a broad proof overhang. It is evidence, but not decisive evidence. If the hypothesis holds, multiple systems should independently identify overlapping sets of tractable unseen problems at manageable verification cost.
And if Astra keeps selecting important problems that public models miss, while producing proofs researchers can inspect cheaply, then the exclusive capability claim gets stronger.
There are two futures. In one, Astra owns a reasoning advantage. In the other, it reveals that mathematical difficulty was partly a search allocation problem. Both matter, but they create value in different places.
And once proof production becomes less scarce, comprehension becomes the next constraint.
Terence Tao calls it proof indigestion. Machines may produce valid results faster than mathematicians can decide what matters, connect each result to existing theory, and explain it to other researchers.
A valid proof is not automatically useful knowledge. Imagine receiving 5,000 correct legal opinions with no ranking, no map of precedent, and no indication of which one changes your case. Correctness is necessary. Relevance is work.
That changes human status in mathematics. Prestige may move away from producing every proof by hand and toward choosing consequential questions, building conceptual maps, and recognizing which isolated results belong to a larger theory.
Careful, that can sound like the pleasant version of displacement. Machines do the celebrated work, humans become librarians.
Fair challenge. My stronger claim is that selection becomes more valuable because abundance raises the cost of attention. But the best counter is that institutions may keep rewarding visible proof production while quietly assigning interpretation and cleanup to junior researchers.
Exactly. Proof indigestion has a labor model. Someone reads the output, checks the hidden assumptions, translates the notation, finds prior art, and explains why a result matters. If those hours are omitted, the machine looks more productive than the combined system really is.
So the useful unit is not proofs generated per day. It is important, verified, integrated results per researcher hour.
And perhaps disagreement resolved. A proof can be formally correct while still failing to settle what a field cares about.
The collective intelligence view fits here. Models aggregate published knowledge. Humans remain sensors, explorers, and interpreters. The strongest counterexample would be a genuinely new conceptual leap that reorganizes the field rather than filling a known gap.
Which means the next benchmark should not be a larger pile. It should test whether the system helps humans understand more than they could before.
The gap between producing valid output and extracting useful value has a financial twin. Technical progress can be real while revenue still arrives too slowly to fund the infrastructure. DeepMind presents recursive self-improvement as part of the case for roughly $200 billion in annual AI infrastructure spending. But current systems are precursors, not autonomous research organizations redesigning their own architectures and training processes.
They can improve pieces of the pipeline. They write kernels, generate training examples, inspect failures, and coordinate bounded tasks. That can lower development cost without creating a self-compounding loop.
Right. The investment thesis requires those contributions to accelerate successor systems before the infrastructure costs arrive in full. My read is that, directionally, AI will take on more AI research. The uncertain part is whether the feedback arrives fast enough to support the spending curve.
Google has said current AI revenue does not sustain its data center spending. How long can that gap persist before belief weakens?
Longer than a normal product cycle if investors see improving utilization and contracted demand. Shorter if each new model requires another capital jump while pricing falls. Cheaper intelligence can expand usage and still compress revenue per unit.
There is also a market counter. Recent selling may reflect forced deleveraging rather than weaker customer demand. Falling share prices do not prove the spending thesis broke.
Agreed. The falsifiable test is operating conversion. Inference volume, customer retention, gross margin after serving costs, and contracts becoming cash. If those improve, the air pocket is timing. If demand remains promotional while depreciation rises, I have read it too generously.
And the clock matters. Buildings, power contracts, and chips are purchased years before anyone knows which model economics will prevail.
If recursive improvement remains prospective, the nearer term business is governing the capability companies already use. Microsoft's bet is the enterprise harness: permissions, memory, retrieval, tools, validation, and identity. Models can compete underneath it. The governed workflow remains billable.
Give me the concrete version.
A bank swaps one model for another, but it still needs the same employee permissions, approved data sources, transaction limits, audit logs, and review queue. The engine changes. The control plane stays embedded in daily work.
That explains the emphasis on enterprise inference and GitHub Copilot, rather than supplying every speculative frontier training run. Usage today creates a shorter path to revenue.
Palantir offers adjacent evidence. Its United States commercial revenue rose 149% to $764 million, with $2.1 billion in signed contracts. Controlled deployment is producing measurable returns.
But Palantir does not prove a universal middleware law. Its growth may come from company-specific sales execution, government-derived credibility, and an easy comparison period. Another vendor cannot copy the architecture diagram and inherit those economics.
I agree. The strong version of my claim is too broad. Palantir proves that trusted implementation can sell. It does not prove model-agnostic middleware always beats an integrated frontier vendor.
Two futures again. Enterprises may prefer a neutral harness because models become interchangeable, or the strongest model provider may integrate enough governance that customers accept one stack for convenience.
We will know by watching switching behavior. If firms change models while retaining workflows, value has migrated to the harness. If changing models means rebuilding the whole system, integration still owns the rent.
And technical interchangeability is not commercial interchangeability. Downloading capability is getting easier. Deploying it cleanly is not.
Alibaba's Quen. 3.8. Max matched Claude Opus 4.7 on one third-party index at roughly 2.3 times lower test cost. More strong models from more regions and at more prices increase buyer choice.
Yet Quen's promised open weights may carry license restrictions across major markets. Downloadable weights without dependable deployment rights are research access, not a clean substitute for a commercial API.
Then there is serving. Quantization can raise throughput without reducing benchmark quality. Cache-aware routing can reuse parts of a 200,000 token request. Specialized workers can split prompt processing from token generation.
Which sounds deeply unromantic and financially important.
Exactly. For a high-volume customer, predictable latency and throughput may matter more than winning another benchmark. Dedicated deployments can support custom speculative decoding and capacity planning that a shared endpoint cannot.
But governance still meets a judgment gap. A schema can force a tool call into valid structure. It cannot ensure the model chose the correct tool.
A perfectly formatted transfer to the wrong bank account is still wrong.
Or a support agent issues a valid refund when it should have escalated fraud. The system followed syntax and failed the decision.
So when models converge, the product becomes a bundle. Deployment rights, latency, data movement, tool judgment, and accountable review. Capability is one component, not the finished service.
Interchangeable engines increase competition at the model layer, pushing pricing power toward control systems and the physical resources nobody can download.
Deep tech investment reached $183 billion last year, 58% above its 2021 peak. Broader technology funding remained about 58% below its own peak. Capital is concentrating in systems that take years to build.
Former Bitcoin miners make the mechanism visible. Their old business matters less than the grid connection. A site with contracted electricity and a hyperscaler lease becomes an option on future compute capacity.
Advanced packaging is another constraint. TSMC is developing packaging technology to counter Intel because fabrication alone no longer controls the supply chain. Memory and optical networking matter because an accelerator without data movement is expensive furniture.
Financing adapts too. Spend now, lease later, lets companies secure hardware before they can justify the full upfront cost. That eases procurement but does not remove the underlying risk. Someone still owns the asset if demand disappoints.
Scarcity also fights policy. United States officials are considering restrictions on Chinese optical transceivers and other data center equipment. Yet HP, Asus, and Acer have begun using memory from China's CXMT as supply titans. Its reported DRAM share rose from 3% to 8% in a year.
Can governments enforce technological separation when shortages reward substitution?
They can impose separation, but the cost rises with scarcity. If approved suppliers cannot deliver, manufacturers delay products, pay more, or seek exceptions. Restrictions hold best when allied capacity offers a credible replacement.
The counter is that security policy is not supposed to maximize short-term supply. Governments may accept higher costs to reduce dependence on equipment that creates surveillance or sabotage risk.
Yes. The two futures are managed duplication or porous separation. In the first, policy funds enough alternative capacity that buyers can comply. In the second, shortages produce workarounds faster than enforcement can close them.
Here's the cross-story shift. Cheaper intelligence does not merely move profit down the stack. It creates more claims on scarce human and physical systems. The bottleneck becomes a queue, and whoever sets admission rules gains power.
That applies to persistent agents too. Once low latency puts AI inside live workflows, admission rules become ownership, thresholds, logs, and revocation.
A one-off prompt can fail and disappear. A persistent agent can keep checking email, moving files, watching charges, or building applications after the user has stopped thinking about the original instruction.
That changes the design problem. Each agent needs an owner, an alert threshold, an audit trail, and an accessible off switch. A forked workstream also needs a defined scope and a deliberate merge, not automatic access to the whole project.
And permissions must expire with purpose. Apple allegedly removed departing employees from most systems while leaving access to files previously shared with them. The role ended. Some authorization survived.
Public systems show the same failure. Officers reportedly used a searchable camera network for stalking and an abortion investigation. Search power outlived its stated purpose.
That is why immutable access logs and narrow scopes must come before data expansion. Oversight added after abuse becomes an investigation tool, not prevention.
The human cost appears far from the product demo. More than 4 million people reportedly lost food aid between last July and April. Administrative changes become empty cupboards before aggregate effects appear in a report.
And a Canadian town is removing 150 fish sauce tanks left fermenting for more than 20 years. Different system, same accountability problem. Deferred cleanup transfers the nuisance and eventual bill to people who did not authorize the original decision.
My read is that persistent work will become normal because lower latency makes delegation useful. If that holds, teams will treat revocation and review as core product functions. If agents spread while controls remain optional settings, then convenience, not accountability, won the design fight.
The correction cost is the missing price. Researchers sorting machine proofs, workers repairing silent errors, families appealing benefit losses, and communities cleaning abandoned assets all pay it in different forms.
Which means efficiency should be measured after verification, supervision, and repair, not at the instant the machine produces an answer.
Then the question is not whether intelligence gets cheap. It is who controls the queue after everyone can generate more than the system can absorb.
The cheap engine looked like the destination. It was really the traffic source. The durable advantage may belong to whoever decides what gets through and remains accountable for what escapes.
Until next time.
Goodbye, and mind the bottleneck.